Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Dais, a podcast about the stories taking place in and around El Paso County, Colorado. I'm your host, Scott Anderson, and today I am joined by Ben Bills, the Public Information Officer for El Paso Teller County 911 Authority. How are you doing today, Ben?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me over. I appreciate it. Before we get started, though, I want to quickly add that if listeners are interested in more stories about people doing good in and around El Paso County, or hearing from county leadership about local government priorities and how they operate, you can find additional episodes of this podcast on your podcast platform of choice. But to get started, Ben, I was wondering if you could share some background about yourself and how you came to be associated with the 911 Authority.
It was all by accident. I got into public safety in 2000. I had applied to be a 911 dispatcher with the El Paso County Sheriff's Office. I worked there for 8 years. I rose through the ranks from dispatcher to I was a floor trainer. I worked in their training department, training brand new dispatchers. And then an opportunity had presented itself at the 911 Authority in about 2008. That opportunity took me to the community outreach position that I'm in now. I serve as the public information officer. I'm responsible for managing the programs that we offer in the schools and various community events in El Paso and Teller counties. And I'm also responsible for the liaison responsibilities between us and the media. If they have any questions as to how does 911 work or if they have questions like that. But I've been doing this for 24 years now. I couldn't think of a better job in the world.
That's awesome. So what was life like as a dispatcher? We actually, my boss here, Natalie Sosa, was a dispatcher for quite a while. And boy, she certainly has some stories. But for you, what was it like being a dispatcher?
Well, here's a fun fact. So Natalie and I actually worked together back in 2003. Awesome. Yeah. I enjoyed the job. I enjoyed every aspect of it. It's a really, really tough job, and I've got a lot of respect for the men and women that serve in those roles. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed the day-to-day answering 911 calls and helping people, but I also enjoyed the interactions with the first responders, getting to be able to dispatch, you know, the sheriff's deputies and then the various volunteer fire departments and paid fire departments in El Paso County. So I enjoyed it a lot, just the responsibility of helping somebody when they're having a probably one of the worst times of their day. It was a pretty fulfilling career. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I think, at least for me, understanding that the 911 Authority is not like with the sheriff's office or with the police department,
right,
is something that was new to me. When I started this job a year and a half ago about, I didn't know that they were separate entities. I didn't actually really know how it worked altogether. So could you give some background about the 911 Authority itself and essentially like what the mission of the organization is?
The mission of the 911 Authority is essentially to provide equipment, training, and support to the seven different 911 centers that exist in El Paso and Teller County. Those 911 centers typically are in a police department or sheriff's office or maybe in a fire department, depending on where they are. The equipment, training, and support, every 911 dispatcher that comes through, they go through 2 weeks at least of training in our building where they get the groundwork laid for their emergency telecommunicator certification. We pay to get their CPR credentials and their first aid credentials, and then they get released to their agencies where they do all their in-house training. The 911 Authority is a standalone governmental entity, so we don't really fall under the city, we don't really fall under the county, but that $1.35 that you see on your phone bill, mm-hmm, that's an emergency telephone charge. That money pays for all the equipment in the seven 911 centers, and it's all managed by the 911 Authority so that all the 911 centers in the two-county region have the same equipment. They're trained the same. So when you call 911, that level of service and the look and feel of how that call goes would be the same no matter where you made that call. Just a couple other things. The 911 Authority also has a GIS team. GIS team, they're responsible for creating maps for first responders and 911 dispatchers so they're able to locate emergencies quickly. We have a team of quality assurance analysts, so their job is to listen to 911 recordings, and then they provide feedback to the call taker to make sure they stay in compliance with the standards for the medical protocols that they're using, same with police and fire. We've got our community outreach team of three, which we're going to talk about peak alerts here in just a bit, but mm-hmm, we were able to promote peak alerts within the community, and then the remainder of the staff is technical support, IT support, to make sure all of our equipment stays up running 24/7, 365.
That's great. So you gave me a great lead in to talk about Peak Alerts. That is one of the things I was excited to talk about and definitely wanted to highlight here. So say I didn't know what Peak Alerts is. Can you tell me about what it is and why it's something that residents in the region should know about?
Peak Alerts is the emergency notification system that we use in El Paso and Teller counties to notify the public if there is an impending emergency that may impact their safety or their property. How that works is the first responder, we would get that 911 call, send first responders, and then they would make an assessment if we need to notify people of that emergency. So Peak Alerts just sends a targeted alert to those that are impacted by whatever incident's happening. Could be fire, it could be a missing person, could be stay in your homes for law enforcement activity. And then the person sending the message in the 911 center just uses a map and they use a tool to draw the shape around the area that they're going to send the notification to. Mm-hmm. And then Peak Alerts generates a phone call, text message, or email, and it sends that message out to those modalities for however you subscribe for it. So it is a opt-in service. We want to make sure the community knows that you do have to sign up to get these alerts. They just won't automatically come to you. But the bottom line is that by going to peakalerts.org and taking just a minute or two to fill out the form, it'll give you that peace of mind that you've got some inbound communication if an emergency ever impacts the area that you live in.
And so how do those first responders determine the like drawn location? Or is that something where there's, well, I imagine it's probably pretty difficult to be like, hey, if it's this situation, this is what the map should look like. If it's this situation, it's smaller or bigger, right? It's more of a case-by-case basis, I would imagine.
It's typically case-by-case basis. Somebody that takes control of those scenes when they get out there to make that determination of how big or small of an area they want those notifications to go to.
Mm-hmm. And so you said people can go to peakalerts.org to sign up for those notifications.
That's correct.
It only takes a minute or two to fill that out. I've done it before. He's correct. It only does take about a minute or two to fill that out. Why would you suggest people sign up for, you mentioned phone call, text message, email. Is it possible to get them on all three?
It is. You got ahead of me because my next question, I was going to ask if you were registered for Peak Alerts. So it's important to get as many forms of contact listed in your profile as possible. Mm-hmm. I've been in this position being the administrator for the Peak Alert system since even the Waldo Canyon fire, although it wasn't called Peak Alerts at that time. Mm-hmm. We learned a lot of things after that incident that there was room for improvement within the system. So we purchased the current platform that we use now, and it allows you to put in multiple phone numbers, multiple areas for text and email. And the reason that it's so important is that during an emergency, the public just assumes that there's some magic infrastructure that maybe we have a direct connection right to their phone line, which is not quite accurate. We depend right on the same infrastructure that we make phone calls back and forth to each other during the day, the same infrastructure we send email on. And if one of those slows down, there's network congestion or something like that, mm-hmm. we want to make sure that we're able to get those notifications to you in at least one form or fashion so you know about the emergency in your area.
Yeah, and speaking of kind of areas to be in, so I'll pose the question to you. So I live out east, mm-hmm. But I work downtown. So if I sign up for Peak Alerts, does it message me based on where I signed up or where my phone is at the current time? Like, how does that messaging work?
That's a great question. So we get this question quite a bit. When you create your Peak Alerts profile, when you go to peakalerts.org, it gives you the option to put up to 5 addresses in there. Sometimes folks are a little confused as to why do we want so many locations. Again, it's because we target the alert. So if I lived out east, I would list my home address. Mm-hmm. If I work downtown, I would list my work address. If I have kids in school, I might list that address. So if any of those locations get impacted, then you would get the notification for that area. I will say this. When you talk about do I get a notification if based on my location or mm-hmm. versus where I signed up, creating the profile in your Peak Alerts account and listing your addresses, you will get notifications no matter where you are if that location is impacted by an emergency. I do know some of our mobile users, when you log into peakalerts.org, it asks if you want to download the Everbridge app. That's the platform working in the background that we use today, known as Peak Alerts. Mm-hmm. If you do download that Everbridge app, it does go off your phone's location. So let's say you live out east, mm-hmm. but you work downtown, yep. but you've got some business in Briargate.
Okay.
If you're not registered for an emergency and there's something going on in Briargate, if you travel into one of those zones and that application's on your phone, it does know that you're on the move and crossing into that area. So you would get an alert in that case.
Oh, okay. No, that's really good to know. So while obviously important to sign up for peak alerts, something people should do, perhaps if you are mobile throughout right. the region, it might be a good idea to download the Everbridge app onto your phone so you could still receive emergency notifications.
That's correct. Yep.
Okay.
It's also, I mean, a good idea. Everbridge has customers all across the United States. So up to 10,000 different law enforcement agencies use it. So okay. if you have it on your phone and you travel into an area, let's say you're driving through Kansas, you would get an alert if there was something active and you traveled into it. But it's just another fail-safe way to get information. But the key is to, I would say, register for peak alerts. Make sure you have that profile in there with mm-hmm. as many addresses as you would like, up to 5, and then list as many points of contact as possible, just so you know you're getting the alerts that you care about the most for the locations that you signed up.
Great, then. So aside from peak alerts, which you guys do a lot more than just that.
Correct.
What other programs does the authority operate to keep residents engaged and informed?
Well, there's throughout the entire year, there's a collaborative effort between the law enforcement agencies and the fire departments in the region. Whenever they're hosting events, we typically will come out and provide information on both peak alerts and if they have questions about the 911 system, how does it work, which device is most reliable, those kind of things. We're available to answer those. We like to put our heads together with our friends at the county and the city, as well as folks within the 911 centers, their management team, and then some feedback from the people that are the boots on the ground to create, let's say, public service announcements so that we can make sure that the entire community, we have the same wanted behavior, for example, calling 911 for emergencies versus maybe something that's not quite an emergency and congesting a line. So the whole goal for the El Paso Teller County 911 Authority is to have those partnerships to make sure that we're all speaking the same language mm-hmm. and that we're here to support the community for whatever they may need in the event of an emergency.
Awesome. And then you mentioned a little bit earlier how you do some programs within schools within the region. Can you talk about some of the programs you do in the schools?
I can. We offer a first and a third grade program. The goal is to catch them young, teach them the appropriate use of 911. The first grade program is about 45 minutes long. We talk to first graders, teach them about 911, what an emergency is, and then they get to listen to some sample calls to kind of get the feel of, hey, those are kids making those calls. I could do that. Our third grade program ramps it up a little bit. We put a little bit more emphasis on safety, so they still learn the when and how to call, but we do have a fire safety simulator trailer that we incorporate the calling from a safe location, and the third graders learn about that, and they go outside and practice getting to safety to make their 911 call. That same vehicle, we call it the 911 mobile classroom, is available for community events with public safety themed or safety themed events so that we can get out into the community with it. But on average, we probably see, I would say probably 12,000 family or kids a year, kids and adults.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. So if schools or communities were interested in getting those programs going within their schools or communities, how would they go about doing that?
It's on our website. It's ElPasoTellerCounty911.org/ I think it's schedule is the URL. I'd have to double check it. But if you go to ElPasoTellerCounty911.org under the How Do I tab and then look for schedule a presentation, there's a simple form that you can fill out, look at availability, and select a date and time.
So with a lot of these programs, you've talked about working with different schools and municipalities. How has working with these organizations really benefited the programs that you guys work on?
I think first and foremost, it just creates consistency, right? And it creates a trusted working relationship between cities and counties, police departments and fire departments. And it just ensures that we're all speaking on the same terminology and that we all have the same mission when it comes to emergency services, and that's just to make sure that everybody has the resources that they need, one, to get alerts and how to get help in an emergency. I will say this, the CCN meeting the other day, I mean, there were people in that room like, I need to talk to this person from the Independence Center. I need to talk to this person from public health. I mean, that was an eye-opening experience for me because kind of get pigeonholed into, oh, I need to work in public safety and stay there, but the community is much larger than that. I saw the opportunity for quite a few more collaborative efforts between some different entities within the county.
Awesome. And then before we ended the conversation today, I just wanted to ask, is there anything else that you want to add that you think would be important for listeners to know about?
I'd like to add one more thing about peak alerts, or actually two things. One is that it's all about looking out for each other out there during an emergency, especially. Take that just 2 minutes to sign up on peakalerts.org. Fill out that form with your contact information and the addresses that you want notifications for. But also take that extra step maybe to look out for elderly family members or elderly neighbors and help them sign up as well. If there is anybody out there that hears of this podcast and they maybe work with a group of people that may not have access to the internet, there's also a way to get signed up if you just call the number 719-785-1971. Our Peak Alerts team monitors that voicemail account. If you just leave your address and the phone numbers you want notified, we'll make sure we get that information entered into the system for you.
Awesome. And that number again was 719-785-1971.
That's correct.
Okay, great. Yeah, and you know, that's something that I'll definitely make sure we put into the show notes so people can keep that for reference purposes. And then two, I just wanted to kind of mention that concept about, you know, looking out for your neighbors. I think it's one of those things where I feel like, at least when I was a kid, it was which feels like a really long time ago. It was one of those things like, oh, you knew all your neighbors and you interacted with them all the time, block parties and all these things. And I think during the pandemic, during COVID, like it was people really kind of got away from that a lot. And I'm not quite sure we're back to doing that. And so I really like the message about, you know, looking out for your neighbors and your community. And like you said, it takes just a minute or two to sign up.
Just a minute or two, and it should just be part of your plan, right? In an emergency, the first step is always to find a way to get information, but it's also a good time after you sign up. I would peruse some of the county and the city websites or the Office of Emergency Management website. Look at some of the Be Prepared information out there. That can help you be a responsible citizen to help an evacuation should there ever be one. I'm hopeful we don't have a fire like we have had in Waldo and Black Forest, but arm yourself with the information on some preparedness info to know what you need to have at the ready should you need to leave in an emergency. That way the whole process moves very smoothly.
Yeah, no, that's really great. And so thank you, Ben, for sharing all this information. It's super helpful and useful and really important for people to know what to do in the event of an emergency. Because like you said, hopefully we don't have those kind of things happen, but you know, it's just the nature of nature,
right?
I guess, to send that stuff our way.
Be prepared. That's the message. Yep.
Yep. Awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time today and for all the work that you do with the El Paso and Teller County 911 Authority. So thanks for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.
If you are interested in listening to additional episodes of Beyond the Dais, be sure to look for us on Podbean or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.